Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily wherever you cast your pod.
Hey there, just good old omniscient me, Johnny Bookends, reminding you there are no other dimensions. We're on this big blue marble flying solo. And now, familiar figures approach a well-worn oak table, illuminated by flickering candlelight. Yeah, I can do ambiance. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the show before, this is everything you need to know. About 2.5-plus-ish years ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, I'm still getting a slight Wi-Fi signal from the Burger King through the dimensional rift, and I use that to upload this podcast I record every week here in the tavern, the Vermilion Minotaur, in the newly liberated town of Hog's Face, liberated kind of in the land of Foon. And I'm joined, as always, by my buds, by my co-hosts, by my co-runners of Hog's Face, Chunt the Talking Badger.
Oh, yeah, baby.
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
I'm doing good for Foon, for Hog's Face.
I know. We're trying to, I guess, act locally a little bit. Like, yeah. We've been, for so long, we've been focused on Usador's quest to defeat the Dark Lord, who is so far away. But you know what? Let's take a little bit of time. Let's make Hog's Face better.
Exactly. And I'm still, I'm head of the guards, and yeah. I'm just trying to disperse them where we need them. And we do come down on crime, but it's a real, farm-to-table coming down. Like, it's a real, a very local coming down,
Oh, very local coming down.
Yeah, we're not like your corporate guards where, we'll lock you up in jail. That seems pretty straightforward and typical, right?
So you're like, oh, I'm being locked up by a local.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so much. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's not some faceless thug beating me up. It's my neighbor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
That's not going to hurt more.
No.
That's not going to feel like a betrayal.
No, not at all.
Huh.
And I also, you'll be happy to know that I reopened Choo-Choo's Chow.
Oh, I'm so happy. My favorite storyline ever.
So now you can come back and start eating there.
Oh, good.
That's your favorite storyline ever?
Yeah, that...
Mine is the introduction of U-Bear.
I don't even remember that. Hey, I'm also joined by my other co-host and co-runner of Hog's Face, Usador the Wizard.
I am Usador, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakas. The elves know me as Fiang Yalak. The dwarves know me as Zonin and Ukstangjes. And I am known in the northeast as Gasmoinius Maestar. And there may be other secret names you do not know, and yea, pray that none of these words do accidentally fall within thine eyesight or earshot, for if they do, they would cause your very nipples to explode off your chest.
What?
Yes.
Damn. If these words fell within mine eyesight?
Yes.
I thought at one point when he said, but yay, I thought he was just going to stop there. I was like, oh, that's pretty uplifting, but yay.
No, that is nice.
Do you have any names that would make my nipples just a little bit smaller?
A little smaller?
Just a little bit smaller.
I don't think I have a name that does that, but I could certainly cast a spell or find a poultice.
Or do you have a spell that would make my shirts just a little bit heavier?
You having nipple problems?
I mean, problems.
It's nice to have a heavy shirt to weigh down the nipples so they lie flat.
I think it's nice that your nipples poke through your shirt because they, so nicely frame the stain in the middle of your shirt.
That's true. But yeah. Yay.
Oh, but yay.
But Usador, more importantly, what have you been doing locally to make Hog's Face better this week?
I left Hog's Face.
Oh, good.
I left Hog's Face.
Wait, you know what?
That's, upon mine steed.
That's why it's been such a good week. It has been, hasn't it been such a better week in Hog's Face? And I just realized why. Because Usur wasn't here.
No, that's not what I meant.
I don't know if I'd say better. I'd say a little quieter.
Yeah.
No, you misunderstand me. I left Hogsface and went back to the great halls of Tarakas. And I did then comb through scroll and tomb and grimoire looking for...
And tomb?
Tome. Did I say tomb?
Yeah,
you said tomb.
Ooh.
Everything okay, buddy?
Oh, well, you know what I said that? There were some tomes that were in tombs.
Oh, tombs.
I had to go down into a tomb.
You say tombs, I say tomb.
Guys, this is getting into via real Looney Tunes.
And in these books, I did look for arcane knowledge that would allow me to defeat the void.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, right. We're supposed to defeat the void.
Or at least avoid it.
We gotta avoid the void.
Yes, well, at very least.
Could we annoy the void?
I think you're doing that now.
Probably. You know, whatever we do, wordplay is gonna get us there eventually. Guys, we're doing so much, clearly, to make Hogsface better and save the entire land of Foon, but I really am excited to talk to our guest. I think he's kind of famous, or at least comes from, like, a famous family? Maybe you guys will know better than me. Guys, I'm excited to introduce Pulsifer the Unassuming. He's a local scholar?
You could say I've been working on several of my degrees, trying to, you know, impart any wisdom that might be an earshot,
sure.
Eyesight, or nose waft. I've been working on some nose waft,
yes.
Which is all the senses.
Yeah.
And you're right, I'm a bit saddled with a famous father who... I'm sure you guys all know.
Oh, who is your father?
Well, you might know him. You, Usador, and he are in similar fields. My dad was Amasidus the Wise. So, if you know of his work.
I don't, but Wise is in his name.
He was more than wise, so they say, and this is what a lot of my scholarship is based on, just sort of going back and interrogating the text of Amasidus the Wise.
Oh.
So he was known, among other things, he defeated the demons of Swoboda. That was him. He was the one,
impressive.
And we could get into what is known and what is said about his defeat of the, or his orchestration of the defeat. But also we should, of course, question what is really defeat. Because, not to get sidetracked here, you know, it's really easy, I find, and in my scholarship I have found, it's really too, when you are affronted with an enemy, a many-horned, several-mouthed, devouring of villages, children, enemy, who are demons, it's easy to demonize them.
Yeah.
I find.
Very true.
Very easy.
It seems like you really, like, it's got to be super easy to demonize demons.
It is. I don't know where the terms come from. That's not my field. My field is not really so much the actual text, more of the meaning behind the text.
Oh.
So it's a post-textual textualism that I'm engaged
in.
Amasidus was more, let's invent a goddess so beautiful that we will stun the demons. They will be pulverized and then they can be slayed. And I'm just asking, what is beauty?
Oh, yeah.
This is my question. Oh. What is...
He made the demons, you jerk!
So I'm just asking, what is beauty?
Hold on. I'm sorry.
Not to get sidetracked, but... What was that?
Pulsifer,
I thought there was a little... Did
are
he,
you all right, Pulsifer?
Did he come? Did he visit?
Yes, I believe so. Yes,
there was a visitor?
Yes.
Yeah, you... Your face got crazy.
Okay, so... I should also divulge that I am coexisting. We are, you could call it a bit of lycanthropy. You could call it, I don't know if the word is possession.
Oh, body roommates.
Yeah, yeah. I think of myself maybe as bispecial.
Oh.
And he is a wereboar. Mm-hmm. And he is within me, and sometimes he presents himself. His name is Nuduts.
Well, isn't that bispecial?
Yeah, Nuduts the werebore. Well, maybe we're trispecial, because as a werebore, he... Well, maybe I'm the were... It's very hard, and I don't like to classify or come down. I believe that there are really seven different forms of species that a person can be.
I've heard of this.
I'm born a werebore, stay a werebore!
And that's why that I don't like to judge the werebore-ness, werewolf-ness, wolf-wareness, wolf-man-ness of anyone else.
Especially since it's Wolf Awareness Month.
I was not aware of that. But then again, I am unassuming.
It's working, because now you know.
We know, yeah.
Wolf Awareness Month, I would assume, would be objected to by the werewolves who want to, you know, work under cover of darkness and not have you be aware of them.
Well, it's not just werewolves. It's wolves in general, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
It's for wolves, werewolves, and now a-werewolves.
Wolves, werewolves, a-werewolves, forest wolves.
Dire wolves.
Dire wolves. Yeah. Ear wolves.
Timber wolves.
Timber wolves.
Wolf blitzers. Those who attack. Yeah, the ones who blitz the wolves.
Wolfsheim from
the Great Gatsby, of course.
Totally a Wolfsheim.
Dick wolves, who are just like assholes.
Yeah, dick wolves are the worst. But yeah. I feel like they're just everywhere. It's so ubiquitous.
Yeah, I find they're somewhat formulaic, but satisfying.
Dick wolves. Yeah. Look, hey.
If I see a dick wolf, I want to see it till the end.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Every time I leave Hogsface and find myself staying in some inn, I immediately say, is there any dick wolves around? I'm bored.
Yeah, you're in an inn. You just look out the window, and there's a dick wolf on.
Two things I ask when I go into an inn. Do you have any dick wolves? Do you have any turkey penises?
Did you want to list the 7 different forms of species?
Well, the first one would be what we called source special.
Uh-huh.
You know, what a sorcerer would present himself as that particular species or itself.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, and it's a continuum is what I'm saying.
I'm new to this world, but it seems like even people on this world are still just trying to get their minds around how many different kind of species there can be. And some people seem upset about it, and they're like, oh, great, why do we keep adding ones? But it seems like a good time to just kind of like listen.
You have to understand that in some of the hinterlands, they have long segregated the species so that there is one watering hole for, say, the werewolves and one watering hole for the source gendered.
Sure.
This is how it should be!
And that is... I mean, it's just something that we have to gradually pull people from.
Pulsiver, do you feel like you're in conflict with this wereboar that lives within you? It seems like the wereboar and you don't seem to agree about things.
I don't necessarily need anyone to agree with me, but I like to think of myself more as a were and him less as an unaware boar.
Sure.
And it's not a denigration in any way. I like to pull him along.
This guy's an idiot! I can't stand him!
And sometimes what I do is I look within and I question myself and I get to a higher plane of consciousness.
Since you have an
awareness... You're fooling yourself!
Since you have an awareness of the werebore, does that wear on you?
Really is location specific, so it really depends on where I am.
Does it ever depend on your ensemble? What's your physically sort of...
My clothing, yeah. So where I am and what I'm wearing... And it does, in fact, kind of, I guess, erode me or wear me down a little bit.
You know, Arnie, I know a binary, so I'm a little bit familiar with this sort of discussion.
Oh.
With this topic.
What's a binary?
A binary is it's a canary that's sexually fluid.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And I support that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, that's great. Wonderful. That's wonderful.
He does. I'm sure he doesn't need my support. Canary.
Well, you don't know. Support. Yeah.
Now, Pulsifer, have you ever considered traveling to the town of Tilk and meeting with the great wise people, Stacy and Clinton, who will tell you when not to wear?
In fact, I've been to Tilk, and Stacy was out.
Oh.
Clinton was there, and, you know, Clinton gave me some really good advice that I try to incorporate in my presentation.
You look like an idiot!
And that's why... Wait, by the way, guys, every once in a while it feels like I burp or have indigestion. Does he present himself?
Yeah, there's definitely...
Oh, do you not know how often he presents himself? Because he's presenting himself a lot.
Oh. How many times has he shown up?
Oh, 7 or 8. They're very small bursts, though. They aren't long, prolonged moments. Just small outbursts.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what's going on. He has, depending on the phase of the moon, where that is in the lunar cycle, he has been more and more present, and Neretz, in fact, has somewhat fashioned himself into what you might call an expounder of his theories.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You could see him in The Horse's Blood, but also there's a new system whereas certain shells, when put up to your ear, he can be in the ear for hours at a time. And there is, you might not know about this, it's not very mainstream, but he actually has millions and millions of acolytes throughout the land who are hearing his particular take on what's going on. He's he's aligned with the Dark Lord. He says he's not.
Uh-huh.
He has what I would think of as some wild theories,
uh-huh.
but, you know, I can't tell him what to think.
So you have a werebore living in you mm-hmm. named Nuddets.
Nuddets.
Who has, it sounds like, a very popular shell cast? Or, you know, Yusor, you've mentioned that you can watch things sometimes by killing horses and watching things in their blood.
That's right.
So he's just, like, kind of famous in Foon?
He's influential in ways that maybe we don't even know about.
Ooh.
Yeah. There are hundreds of people who... I don't really want to give... voice to his mm-hmm. theories, if you will.
It's not your choice. I got millions of listeners, and people know 10-11 was an inside job.
One of the things he does talk about is he's a 10-11 truther.
Oh.
Which is, you probably know this, he doesn't believe the numbers 10 or 11 exist.
Oh, no.
Right.
Those yeah. are so important numbers.
They are.
I can do without 11, I'll be honest, but 10?
11's a weird one. Like, most of the other numbers fall in a certain yeah. order. You got your regular numbers.
Yeah.
And then you got your ones that end in the teen.
Yeah.
I feel like 11's the best part. I mean, without 11, that whole show falls apart.
I understand the appeal of it, though I do not agree with it. For I get it. You're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Fuck it. A dozen.
Yeah.
Let's...
Have you ever received... Sometimes in Foon, you order donuts or something, and you get fuck it a dozen?
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, instead of 12, you might get like 30. Because the baker's like, fuck it. A dozen. Like, he's checked out. Like, it's probably his last day or her
so
last day.
So tell me you're the smart one. When I order 9, I get a dozen. Because 10 and 11 don't exist.
So there are some advantages, I guess, to being a 10-11 truther.
Yeah.
Because it goes right to a
so
dozen.
So he's really famous in Foon.
He's really famous. He's really influential. A lot of people believe this crazy stuff.
Uh-huh.
In the lands where they've given people the ballot, it's affecting races, his particular ideas.
You are the most mythical creature of all. For depending on what moment you step into that ballot booth, you may be either... a hardline conservative or yeah. a very strong liberal. You are the swing voter.
Right. The other thing about being a 10-11 truther, in practical terms, really ruins time. Because no hours have a 10th or 11th minute.
Yeah.
And no minutes have a 10th or 11th second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is weird because the people who listen to his shell cast, I have no idea how they know when to tune in.
Yeah.
All I know is that I go into a bit of a fugue state, and then my voice hurts a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. And then I come out of it, and all of a sudden, people in the lands where they have the ballot are making poor decisions based on fiscal issues.
Very sad.
Why don't we actually take a quick break? And I wonder if after the break, we can maybe talk to Nuddets a little bit, if you don't mind. I don't know if that's a really weird... thing.
It could work. There are some, shall we say, triggers or unsheathings
uh-huh.
that bring him out.
Okay.
So we could try to.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll.
You guys should be so lucky!
We'll talk to Nuddets. So, Pulsiver, I don't know if it's, like, invasive to kind mm-hmm. of want to talk to a part of you that. You're not...
My hopes, my dreams, my aspirations.
Now, hold on one moment. I also want to speak to Nuddets, but...
Oh, Erebor. I thought you meant more ethereal. But yeah, that's the part of me you wanted to talk about.
We want to talk about you, though, too, Pulsiver.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's not just about the very famous person that's inside of you.
He is influential.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I would go with infamous.
Sure.
As in, he is inside of me and famous.
Inside famous.
Yeah. He's inside famous.
I would like to speak to you about your father.
Amasidus, yeah.
Amasidus the Wise.
That's how you want to talk to me.
Oh, yes.
Talking about Amasidus.
I've never heard of Amasidus. I know Asmodee the Bard, but I don't know
Amasidus, as I said, he defeated the demons of Swoboda by creating the beautiful angel Barrera, whose visage froze them and they were slaughtered. He also cured a very famous famine, the famine of Nieuwenhuis.
Mm.
And he, again, I think that we shouldn't question, and this is, you know, this goes back to my title, Pulse for the Unassuming. We should not assume.
Yeah.
That is what I mean, and that is why I've been named the Unassuming.
Yeah.
How do you
we should not assume. Well, what he did was, he went to other dimensions,
ooh.
And yes, and it was harvest time at the banquet of Jorp, and he transported their foods to the people of Nieuwenhuis, and they were cured. And of course, You can see how problematic this is, right?
Yeah, I can.
You went to another dimension.
Yeah.
None of this food was locally sourced.
Oh. No.
Is it sustainable? I don't know. The whole issue of MGOs, magically generated organisms,
sure.
That comes into play.
Yeah. Sure.
So this is the sort of thing with my father, who was it was always assumed that he was doing good for the world, but what about the ripples of discontent, misunderstanding, and MGOs?
Now, yeah. I should say that Amosidus is maybe the most famous non-wizard magician. He is a fantastic sorcerer, born a human, learned all of his magic, but such amazing feats he did accomplish. He created a goddess to defeat the demons.
Yes. That's pretty cool.
Also, to your point, Pulsifer, it's quite irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's another goddess running around.
Right. Imposing a religious structure upon people who did, or demons, or demonkind, who did not ask for it.
May I say to you, Pulsifer, I believe that being unassuming is the greatest wisdom of all.
Bless you.
Well, let's not make any assumptions about being unassuming.
Well,
all right.
It has often been said, and I remember my father demonstrated this in a lesson once, when he said, you know what happens when you assume, you make an ass of you and me. And since he was a transmogrifier, he literally actually did that.
Oh. Made people into asses.
Yeah,
Then himself.
Yeah.
That's just really, really to prove a point.
This is how far he would go.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's got to be, I got to say, Pulsifer, that's got to be tough growing up with a dad like that.
Living in his shadow has been nothing less. He would also.
Because there's a darkness around you.
Well, he would necromance and, dabble in the dark arts.
Oh, yes.
Did he, magically leave his shadow over you?
A penumbra, at least, shall we say.
Wow, so that's your chemical necromance. It sort of lingers on top of you.
Yeah, and it's been a bit of a black parade of bleakness.
Yeah.
Upon which the shadow has been cast.
I can't believe when he died, he left the curse of his taint on you.
Mm-hmm. And I feel that taint every penumbra? Day.
There's no Gerard way that should be happening right now.
No, now, I do taste that taint every day.
Oh.
I do admit, as a younger wizard, I was quite taken with Amosidus and his great feats. And I tried to emulate a couple of them, and I myself attempted to defeat the Goblins of Sparrow.
The Goblins of Sparrow?
Yes, with their greasy, terrible food.
Terrible?
So I created a nice-looking lady to confuse them.
Oh.
You're like, I can't make a goddess.
I can't make a goddess. That's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They were distracted.
Sure.
I find that when I travel from town to town, that's when I most often see the Demons of Sparrow.
Yes. Oh, yes.
On the side, in taverns, on the side of the road.
Yeah, so sometimes if you go into a large shopping structure, there'll be a small one there.
I'll stop in and get a slice.
Sure.
Yeah. They sell food by the slice.
Oh, by the slice?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
Yes, they slice all their food.
Pies and such. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. Pies, that's a normal thing to serve in slices, but they'll give you a slice of chicken. They don't care.
But also that is the payment form they accept. They will just slice you.
Oh, yeah.
And then drink upon you.
They'll cut you. There's also some around that same area, if you might see a Sparrow, there's a lot of expedient pandas.
Oh, expedient pandas.
Mm-hmm. They just get shit done real fast. They cook it up real fast.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you may shit your brains out, but man, that food got too fat.
I thought that's why people went there. Am I not understanding the business model of the expedient panda?
Oh, to torture their bodies?
Yeah, just to expunge. Perhaps you've taken a poultice or a potion that you need out of you, and then you go to the expedient panda.
Yeah, it's an important service.
A little culinary S&M.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
Absolutely. But Pulse,
maybe, you know what? I think we just learned a lesson. I assumed that that's what the...
And you made an ass out of you and me.
Pulsifer, have you thought that maybe the way to get out of your father's shadow is to just not focus on him so much? It seems like you've dedicated your whole life to your father.
I have tried to question and try to not assume the lessons that were handed down to me.
Yeah.
And this is why I've put many years of work into this. And I don't know, do you have the concept of tenure in your world?
Do you know about 10 years?
Yes, I love 10 years. 11 years, that doesn't make any sense.
It's all bullshit! You've gone, you're a 12-year!
So, here, in our world, and I know you are a visitor, there's the concept of chasing good gold farthings after bad. Oh. And so I feel like I've done a lot of important work.
Yeah.
And I'm on the verge of getting published.
Yeah.
In Horse's Blood other. Yeah. So
even if you question it, you feel like you're pot committed, which is a metaphor for like going to Expedient Panda. Mm-hmm. And you're just pot committed.
It's also which term?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cauldron. Committed.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of a pot. It's like, you gotta, I'm committed to
get off
pot.
The cauldron.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but I sort of feel like the stress of that would cause someone to internalize all of that stress so much, and it would be looking for a release valve.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and I wouldn't want to judge it.
It's totally what happened. I gotta get out. I have a point to make. I'm the real Pulsifer! Okay. This guy, he's bullshit! He's bear shit, he's boar shit! Juice boxes kill you! 10-11 was an inside job!
But as much as I hear your point, and I don't want to reject it out of hand, I think that we all contain multitudes. That's all I can say about that.
I'm the right multitude! There's not multiple at 10-11!
It's so... I gotta say, Pulsifer, it's tough for me. I come from a world that makes me want to, like, try to psychoanalyze you and what's going on. But this is a world where there might not be a psychoanalytical explanation for what's going on. It might just literally be that a werebear is somehow inside your body.
Yeah, I would think that would be the obvious explanation.
Seems pretty obvious to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you guys have daddy issues on this world? Is that a thing?
Well, I've read some periodicals, but I don't know of one called Daddy.
How often do you read these periodicals?
Periodically. Mm-hmm.
But Pulsifer, I'm just really interested in it. Are you the real one, or is Nuttets the real one?
Well, you know, as a lot of my scholarship shows, the question of what is real, what is the received truth,
it's me! This is what I'm saying the whole time!
Are you?
How many listeners does this guy have? He can't even get tenure at a 2B university! Or whatever the hell school he's been teaching in! Juice boxes kill people!
Pulsifer, are you your father's son, or are you just a prison containing your father's son?
That could be a chapter that I'm working on. That's good. I like that.
Pulsifer, I have what might seem like a strange question to you, but how do you feel about boxes of juice?
You know, I don't see how the square box and the fluid within the juice would coexist. But if it did, I think that would be a fine, fine invention.
If you want your kids to turn into werebears themselves!
And I also think that were we to give these small boxes to the little ones, the tykes, you know, this might be nurturing for them.
So you're okay with juice box?
And lizard people!
Lizard people?
Sure.
We not told you about
some people them? Are lizards.
Like dragonborn or like...
They're definitely a type of lizard person.
Yeah.
It's gotta be hard to be a conspiracy theorist in a magical world because like most of the things are probably true.
Well, the lizard people are true.
Yeah.
I think...
That's something that you and Nuttets agree on.
There are a couple things we agree on.
Uh-huh.
Obviously the lizard people are true.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the lizard people are trying to legalize halberds in this country, and whether the attack on Farthington was what we call a false flag operation by the lizard people. That is an area of disagreement.
What is a false flag operation on Foon?
Well, this would be where they rode in with banners and sigils high, but in fact, those banners and sigils should have been low or at half-mast. So the height of the flag would be, that would be what we call a false flag
that
operation.
That seems like cheating.
And the other
That's
thing...
a weird way to cheat.
Yeah, because you come in low.
It's also a weird thing to be upset about. It's like, you know that historical thing that happened? Don't get me started on the height of those sigils. They were not at the proper height that those sigils could be.
No.
You know what? Even on my world, people get really upset about very specific things involving flags, I suppose.
That's odd. I don't see
my
how that
world
would
is a weird. It's my world has its issues too.
So people are upset with each other. If you fly the sigil and flag high, it unites everyone or no? I would think that would be the most uniting thing.
It can be, but...
What if a songs that rouse passions are played in association with those sigils?
You know what? It's the kind of thing where people feel very passionately about it, mm-hmm. and then a lot of people don't feel very passionately about it.
Can I ask you, when you see a sigil and there's mm-hmm. that rousing music, do people still call you Arnie, or do they just call you Arn? Like, is it appropriate while the sigil's, waving in the air and the
oh, they want to take a knee out of my name?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes people call you Arnold or Arnie. I don't know if it's appropriate to shorten it. So would they take the knee?
In my experience, not that many people take the knee out of my name, but I'm personally fine with it.
Only way to kill a centaur, you take the knee!
That's actually good advice.
That is. That sounds...
Take a centaur out of the knee. That
sounds terrifying.
That was great advice.
Wait a minute.
This is Isidore.
This is Chunt.
And we're getting advice from Nunnets.
Wait a minute. He showed up again?
Yeah.
Yes.
And what did he say?
He told us a very effective method of killing a centaur. I gotta say, at first he seems crazy.
Yeah.
But the more I listen to Nunnets, the more I'm like, some of this is stuff I can use in my life.
There are compelling things. Like I said, the lizard people that we agree on, I've never tried. Yeah. I'm a scholar. I'm a man of the mind. I don't really understand how to kill a centaur. It's another thing... You know songs where they list names of towns?
Yeah.
We both like them.
Really?
Isn't that weird?
That is strange.
What are some of your favorite songs that list the names of towns?
There's L-U-T-E in F-O-O-N. Also spelling songs.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a combination.
Yeah.
Where it's a spelling song and they go through the towns that they've been in. That's pretty good. When they're like Vinegar Ben, Weaselford, Gutherington, We Were Luton. That's a good song.
Oh,
that's
wow.
a great song. Not a good song.
It's a very good song, is what I'm saying.
That's great.
See, there is common ground for all of us. Even those of us who believe wildly different things, there are ways for us to have conversations and not be so vehement in our emotional states. We must remember that we are joined here. You literally are one person with two personalities.
Yeah. Well, maybe three, because he's a werebore. This is the thing that I don't understand. Am I a werebore? Or is he if he's a werebore, shouldn't he sometimes change into the unboorish part?
Is there another
part?
Personality
so
under him? What's like what's the
what's
underwear?
If we were to bore into, werebore, what would be behind that?
It depends where you bore. His heart, his head. Yeah. So he went through a magistrate, and the magistrate revealed that it was perhaps suggested that he was putting on an act as this boorish boar character. Mm. And he, argued this to try to get possession of his tiny little werebores. It didn't go well. But it was a little bit embarrassing for him. Although the people...
Are the little werebores inside you as well?
I think they're out there. He has a certain, as
Are
you would imagine...
Are they inside your children?
No, what he does is... He has a certain animal magnetism in a way I don't have, and he's very good with the female were-ladies. And sometimes rely on
If you have
him.
Relationships with other people, do you sometimes then you're later like, that wasn't me, that was the werebore inside of me. And those are not my children.
Well,
this is not my beautiful house.
In all those cases, I feel as if it were a different person.
Sure.
You're fooling yourself! It was me the whole time!
And... call that... What was that word you were using for...
Oh, psychoanalyzing?
Yeah, call that psychoanalyze-ish.
Yeah.
Call that what you will. I call it the wereborn side.
Yeah. Someday it might take over and there might be a boar supremacy.
Hmm.
Well, it might be more like a boar ultimatum.
Nothing.
There's probably another one.
What with it?
But I can't.
The boar acrostic?
Well, Pulsiver, I feel like we've barely just scratched the surface, but... We've just barely scratched the surface.
Don't scratch my surface, stay away!
Okay, Nuddets. Maybe next time we'll have you on.
What time?
Oh.
Give me a time.
Either 9 or noon.
Okay. Oh. You know what, Nuddets? I would love to have you on, but it will be at 10.
So I'll see you never. Never!
It's ironic that you don't believe in 11, Nuddets, because you're always kind of at an 11.
I have an email here.
Oh, yeah, Chunt.
This is from Mia Bender. You can always email me at chunt6t@gmail.com. This says, book club suggestion. Hi, Arnie, Chunt, Usador, and any guests.
Ooh, this plural, says plural, sort of.
So they must have known. I have an idea for the next book you guys could read in your book club. Are we still going to do the book club?
We could do another book. Like, book I club. Enjoyed... I know you didn't love The Great Gatsby. Did you enjoy having a book club?
Yeah,
it was fun just getting together and gabbing, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think that Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone would be a fun and easy read for the book club. It's a children's book on Earth, but it does involve a lot of magic.
They write books for children on Earth.
Oh, yeah, lots of books for children.
Why waste time writing a book for children when they're going to die?
If I could suggest, I've written a book, Between Amosidus and Me, that is the name of the book, and it is more a journey of self and exploration where...
It's a Vanity Press project!
Where we... question the received wisdom of Amosidus's greatness. So I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah. So where it's you and your father, like, question his own wisdom?
I question his wisdom. He didn't have anything to do with the book, although it's dedicated to him.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Not in the dedication, literally. The dedication, literally, is to Nettles, because his listeners really drove sales.
Oh, yes. Sure.
Wait, Arnie, you said, do we have daddy issues? Is that the same thing as poppy problems?
Probably. Poppy problems?
Yeah, because I have poppy problems.
Yeah, on Earth we have this thing where you really are angry at Poppy Montgomery. It's called Poppy Problems.
Who is Poppy Montgomery?
I don't know. I might have that name. There's a famous person named Poppy something, right?
If you're going to make up a name for a poppy, make it like John or something. Or Van Winkle.
Chunt, do you have poppy problems?
Yeah, my dad's a ghost.
You're right, your dad's a hunger ghost.
Yeah. I barely see him, and when I do, he just is asking about food or wants to eat. Yeah.
He literally barely sees him.
Yeah, just when you do, he's just
sort of spectral.
20%,
Yeah.
And he's never, I know what you mean, he's just never there.
Yeah, I feel like he's always ghosting
me. He's never really present.
No, he's never present. He's never corporeal.
When he's there, he's not there.
Yeah.
Of course, Amosidus was able to, you know, separate himself to four or five different places. So, again, for me, more
literal.
Must
be nice.
Yeah.
And you're like, Dad, can all of you be here? Can I have all of you here?
Only
right now?
Three of you came to my mittens game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he would say yes, but then I would know there were a couple other Amositai walking around the hinterlands.
Yep. Oh, mm-hmm. Gosh.
You could tell. So in the book, Between Amositus and Me.
Yeah.
Pulsifer, thank you for being on today. But I must tell you one last thing.
Yeah.
Are you aware that the only physical difference I see between you and Nuddits is that Nuddits wears a really nice watch?
I am not aware.
But I'm aware!
See, there it is. And then it disappears right into his wrist.
Hmm.
Welcome back. No more imagining. Just think of me as the teacher that replaces Robin Williams at the end of Dead Poets Society. Usador the Wizard was played by Matt Young. Chunt the Talking Badger was played by Adil Rafai. Pulsifer the Unassuming and Nuttuts the Werebore living inside of him were both played by special guest Mike Pesca. Mike hosts the Slate podcast The Gist, a daily podcast covering news and culture. Gosh, that sounds relevant and popular. Well, look who's the kid staring out the window at the baseball game from his four-poster sickbed. Drip Fang the Necromancer was played by... Oh, wait, Drip Fang wasn't in this episode. And let's take a moment to enjoy the tiny kindnesses that life sometimes throws your way. Hello from the Magic Tavern is produced by Arnie Niekamp, Ryan DeGiorgi, and Evan Jacover. This episode edited by Chris Rathchen.
Hey, do you need any help finishing up the credits?
All right, Robot Arnie, let's try out the new protocols and cycle through a few accents.
Okay, here we go. Guten Tag, I am German. I am speaking in English, I do not know why. Ach du mein Guter.
Mein Guter.
Also, I am Russian. I speak in a Russian accent, I think. Not my best work, I have to confess.
Confess.
Yeah, I'm gonna file all of those under international culture as filtered through Chicago improv.
Yep, that's fair. I gotta figure out how to fix Craig. Anyway, the Hello from the Magic Tavern theme song is by Andy Poland, and the Magic Tavern logo is by Allard Laban. Just a quick reminder that we're doing a live show in Washington, D.C. on November 14th.
November 14th.
Our special guests include David Plotz from the Slate Political Gabfest and Storm DiCostanzo, half of the musical duo Pollen Storm. So if you're hoping for the return of Foon's greatest musicians Nimby and Grundle, your wish is 50% granted. You can get information about tickets by going to hellofromthemagictavern.com and clicking on the Live Shows tab.
And if you don't live anywhere near Washington, D.C., but think you know people who would be interested in the show, let them know about it. I think the show is already selling really well, but you know, the more tickets we sell, the more likely we're going to be able to do more live shows in the future. Hello from the Magic Tavern is part of the Earwolf Network, and as always, thank you to the Chicago Podcast Co-op. Thanks for listening.
Good, 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 good.